Welcome to Spruce Grove Alliance Church, your home.
Well, good morning. How are you all this morning? Good? Yeah. Kids, how many kids are in here? How are you guys doing this morning? Oh, sweet. Good. If you guys don't know who I am, my name's Josh. I'm the youth young adults pastor here at the church. And I'm excited to jump into this morning with you guys. And so I know there's a slide here, but I made one for myself, for the kids. I felt, you know, I mean, we have a pineapple, some sunglasses. But if that's not enough, I made one that's a little bit better. All right, can we? How about that? Hey? Or I made one that's maybe even a little bit better. See what I'm saying? Yeah, summer in the palms, Psalms. Yeah, where is Pastor Brent? There he is. Or I made one. I don't know. Do we like that mouth or his real mouth? I don't know. Either way, I was like, I wasn't sure, so I made both. Okay, and you get to enjoy, and Brent, you get to enjoy seeing your face as well. And so if you're at home or here, we're ready this morning. And we're going to be continuing our series on Summer in the Psalms. And this morning we're going to be reading Psalm 136. And it is the most repetitive, maybe, passage in all of Scripture. And so who likes repetition? Who likes repetition? Yeah? Who likes repetition? Who likes repetition? You know? Who likes it? Because we're going to get into it this morning. Just prepping you a little bit. No, it should be really, really good. And so here's a question for the kids. Kids, how many of you like to repeat asking your parents for something? How many? You like doing that? You like saying, Mom, Dad, can we go out to the park? Can we go on a bike ride? Can we go? You guys enjoy that? How many of you guys, kids, like to watch the same movie over and over and over and over? Parents, how many of you guys have seen the same movie sometimes three times in one day? I mean, maybe not quite that excessive, right? So actually, I have a movie for you kids if you like to see the same movie. I have the perfect one. So let's get ready. Can we get some sound?
Yes, it goes on and on, my friend.
Does anybody remember this?
Continue singing it forever just because
this is the song that never ends. Okay, all right, we're enough of that. Okay. I can't even do it, all right? But that just goes on for a while. Anyway, I want us to just reemphasize the importance of repeating. Because repetition, I find, has two effects. One, we repeat an action because we just truly enjoy it, or we repeat because we didn't get the desired result the first time. Mom didn't respond, you gotta say that name 10 more times, right? Or it doesn't sound quite right on an instrument you're practicing, and so you gotta tweak that claw, you gotta figure out, right? That sounds a little dull, gotta make sure those fingers go down. Right, you gotta try it out, repeat again. Or it doesn't taste quite right, you're cooking. Throw a little salt in there, taste again, that's not right. Throw a little salt in there, and then you're like, you know what? Ugh, and you just throw it in the garbage and try again, right? We repeat until we get the desired result. And so repetition, however it works, eventually, typically, leads us to obtain that result that we want. Or that we think that we want. And so we get to experience the same movie over and over. We get Mom's attention. We beat that level in Mario that all of you guys can remember. There's that ledge. You just can't get there, right? Try it again 100 times. Beat the level, right? And so we do this over and over. And so this passage, though extremely repetitive, seeks to help us remember to repeat this specific phrase over and over and over, and we're going to repeat it together this morning. And so what I want to do, I'm going to read, we're not going to read the entire passage, But I'm going to read a point, and we're going to do that for a reason. But I'm going to read the first verse, and then I want you guys to read the second one I have highlighted. For steadfast love endures forever. And just get yourself ready. You're going to be saying that phrase. So how about we read together? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders. To him who by understanding made the heavens. To him who spread out the earth above the waters. To him who made the great lights. The sun to rule over the day. The moon and stars to rule over the night. And we're going to move on to just this next one. It is he who remembered us in our low estate and rescued us from our foes. He who gives food to all flesh. And let's do this last one all together. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Steadfast love endures forever. Do you believe that? Have we repeated it enough? Or does it get to be, yes? Guys, the kids are paying attention. Okay, I like it. This is why we repeat. This is why David put this in here. He wanted to ensure that Israel believed it. And so do we believe that? For his steadfast love endures forever. And so here, we're going to break down that word steadfast. What does that steadfast love, that kind of phrase really mean? And so I have it, we're going to look at some passages, and then we'll look at the actual Hebrew. But these passages here, we got different versions of the Bible. For his steadfast love endures forever. We read that. His faithful love endures forever. His love endures forever. They're like, you know what? Not faithful. No, I don't know. His loving kindness is everlasting. His loving kindness endures forever. God's faithful love, there's an L there, it should be. Love lasts forever. His love is eternal. His mercy endureth forever. And his love never quits. But let's look at this word in the Hebrew. And so this is the word kesed, and if you've heard it before, it's because it's everywhere, right? And so this word means loyal, devoted, steadfast, faithful, kind, merciful, favor. And so when we say that over and over and over, there's a lot to this steadfast love that we say, and sometimes we need to say it in different ways. Sometimes we go, man, steadfast, I know what that means. And then we say, no, his faithful love endures forever. His loyal love endures forever. His devoted love endures forever. There is so much to a single word that David's trying to convey to us of God's love. And so do we in our day-to-day do that? Do we remember? This is God's love. Do we realize his love in these ways in our lives? Do we recognize his love in our day-to-day in this way? And so here's a question. How often do you repeat these kinds of things to yourselves or that you remember? Because if you're anything like me, we get busy. And then for some reason, I'll be in the car and, you'll just go, wow. I don't know why, but for right now, I just feel this incredible sense of gratefulness. I have a car that it started. Sometimes you hear that, and it's like gurgles, and you're like, thank you for getting that going, right? And then you remember as well, right? Sometimes when my youngest comes in, he's got this particular kind of smile. He comes and just hugs you. I don't know what it is. And then he looks up, gives you this weird smile. And then you have this intense amount of gratefulness, even though he was screaming at you like 5 minutes ago, right? And then you kind of go, no, this is good. How often do we remember these things? But I want to point out something kind of interesting in the passage is if you go and you read, and if you go into your Bible, you'll see that it's kind of broken down in a lot of threes. And that's very, very intentional. David wanted you to know the number three in there to shine and point you to the perfection of God's love, fully encompassed, as he remembered and told Israel to remember a bunch of different things. He recorded the proof of what they need to be thankful for. And so he tells Israel to sing. And there's these different things, and we didn't read them. We passed over them because, man, we could be here saying his love endures forever for a long time, which would be good, maybe. But there's three kind of different breakdowns. And one is he goes, man, God's creation. And he breaks down his creation and goes, look at this. Do you see how beautiful this is? And then the next line, another piece of creation. And the lights, right? We read that part. And then the moon. And then the next passage, he goes, and then God pulled us out of Egypt. Do you remember that? For his faithful love endures forever. Do you remember how he did it? Do you remember the miracles along the way where the sea split open? His love endures forever. Do you remember when we went into the wilderness and we came out the other side? For his faithful love endures forever. And then he goes, through God saving them from their enemies, much larger enemies, the Amorites, they have these massive armies and they're coming to attack. And somehow Israel manages to prevail over an army that there's just no way. Giants of kings, his faithful love endures forever. They face down enemies, giants, 60 cities that are fortified. His faithful love endures. And so, okay, God, let's ask him the question. What does it mean for us this morning as the readers of this passage? What does it mean? It's important that we remember to record, to take note. We have an ability now that many in Israel perhaps didn't. We have the ability to read the scripture ourselves, to record his goodness and faithfulness in our lives as well. You were taught how to read and to write. And so what is it that God has done? His steadfastness, his loyalty, his faithfulness, his devotion at work in our lives from, let's just say, even January to now. We're halfway through. Isn't that crazy? It's wild. But he has done so many things, even in that short amount of time. This is the act of remembering. This is the act of not just remembering, but writing it down to remember later, to record it. And this is an act that I was actually emphasized by my mom. And when I was growing up, my mom, she would go, I have your guys' names written down and what I need to pray for. And I always remember being a kid, I'm like, you know how many people's names you'd have to have written down? That's ridiculous, right? And then she'd open up, she's like, no. And there's like this list of people. And then she would write down the prayer that she prayed for each one because she spent 4 hours, I don't know, man, just so much time. And then here's an example of it continuing even to this day. A woman doesn't stop. And she learned from my grandma, because my grandma told me, I don't know, it's this generational thing, it's cool. But my son, my oldest son, Ocean, he had these warts on his hand. Some of you, I might have told the youth specifically this kind of story, but he had like, I don't know, 20 warts per hand. And it was just warts on warts, they're on his fingers. And we tried to address it. Beth and I, we couldn't figure it out. We were putting these ointments on. Nothing was working. It just felt like they were getting bigger. It was becoming this massive frustration in our lives. And eventually we actually gave up on the ointments. We just kind of were like, I don't know, it's not working. And anyway, I came home from work one day, and Ocean goes, "Dad, guess what?" I was like, "What?" He's like, "Jesus healed my warts." I was like, "Show me." And he like puts his hands out, and they're gone. There's like three left, which is ridiculous, and they're tiny. And I go, "You know who would love to hear that? Grandma. When she comes over, you gotta tell her when she comes in." And so my mom, she comes, she was babysitting them. They used to do that every Wednesday for us. And then when we went to young adults. And so she comes in, and Ocean goes, "Grandma, guess what? Jesus healed my warts." And she goes, "Shut up, show me," right? And he shows her, and she goes, "Guess what? You won't believe." She starts to kind of cry, and she pulls out her journal. She had it with her. She's like, "Look at what I wrote down this morning." And it was Ocean praying for his warts. We need to remember the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And sometimes we need to record it. We need to write it down to remember it for later. That's a story I've written down for myself to remember later. This is important. David knew it was important. It's not like it stopped, right? This is something that I do with the youth leaders at the end of the year, in the middle of the year. Usually right at the beginning of January, we'll go, "Hey, what has God done in the fall?" And we did so at the end of this last year. And I wish you guys could have been there. It was an incredibly special time we got to share. And to hear all of the individual places that God is at work, that the youth leaders are seeing themselves and the rest of us are not, is quite cool. You see, God is sustaining. God is with us. He is faithful even when we don't see it. Sometimes we get stuck in our frustrated lives of, "Man, I'm facing this. Would you just fix it?" And he doesn't sometimes. And we go, "Well, then where are you?" But there are so many places, and we need to remember. God sustains us always. God makes ways where there is no way. God surprises us in times where you're not ready for a surprise. You're ready for a surprise the week before, and he goes, "Well, guess what? That wouldn't have been a surprise, would it?" God making a way somehow time and time again. And so I've made note of these things in my lifetime. As an example that my mom and my grandma set before me, I continue to try and do the same. I don't know if I'm quite at the level of like a list of people and a prayer for each one. I'm not there. But I definitely attempt. And so there's some things, right? I remember there was a moment where Beth and I, we had no money, couldn't figure it out. I was supposed to finish my degree. There's no way we could afford our apartment. We had friends that go, "Come stay at our house." And Beth goes, "How did you know we needed a place to stay?" She's like, "I didn't. I just figured I'd ask." And their place for us to stay was bigger than our apartment because they live in this ridiculous mansion or whatever. And it was just a blessing, right? You're like, "Man, God, that's, how did you know? We didn't even know." You know, there's things like that. There's much smaller things too, right? Like just, I don't know, you wake up and you're free of your sickness. I've made note over the years of the cool things that God's done in our church as well, just since I've been here. And there's a lot, and I didn't put them all in. But what I did do is I took note of some of perhaps the bigger ones. And so obviously, I mean, come on, COVID, right? When that hit, that was a shock to the system of this place, of this church, not just this church, but whatever church you were in at the time. And I remember just processing from week to week, how on earth are we going to sustain this as we're doing it? Like, this is just ridiculous. We went from 80 students at the beginning of COVID to 8 just before the summer. I think it was like, what, it hit in February, we had 80, and then you got to June and we had 8 coming online. They're like, "Online sucks." I'm like, "Yes, it does. It's terrible." right? And yet God sustained us. And here's something that I took note of, is it didn't just sustain us as a church. We actually went to go and sustain the people around us as a church. And Grace's Table, that ministry, just continued to flourish and take off, and we sustained the community around us. God, where were you? Well, this is where. One of the just many places. We take our eyes off of us, we go, no, somebody else needs us to be there. And then right at the beginning, we lost the lead pastor. Remember that? For those of you that were here. Scott and his family felt led to go elsewhere, and I was going, you know, I'm sure many of us thought the same. We didn't know what to think. You just kind of go, okay, we got to push through. We got to pray. We got to figure this out. God, how? Why? Right? Questions like that. And then somehow, I don't know, we for some reason built a building in the middle of that, right? People just like raised up in this place. And we went, no, no, no. For some reason, God came and sustained these individuals to support this place financially, support them with their talents, with their dreams, with their energy, with whatever they had. He sustained us, for his love endures forever. And, you know, it just continues on. This financial COVID crunch, I mean, everyone financially was like in this bind. How? Like I said, we built a building. It doesn't even make sense. We didn't have to lay off staff, believe it. Just God somehow coming in and sustaining this place. There is one more recent one, and I wanted to bring it to our attention, because perhaps we haven't actually talked about it. But over the last little while, we've lost three pastors in this year. Corrine retires, Joel and Andrew leave. We've lost friends as well. Let's just put the pastors aside. There's other people that this place shifts. We have people going to other churches as well. And we all feel and grieve those moments. And I think sometimes, you know, especially this year, man, that was a shock to the system for me. And you just kind of go, God, how are we going to push and get this through? And yet, somehow, I don't know, God is faithful. Incredibly faithful. And I want to remind us of that in that moment as well. That his love endures forever. That we don't have to fear whatever issue it is that we're facing at any given moment. His love endures forever. That's the passage of today. And so, God has been very, very good to us. And so what I want us to do this morning is, we have kids here in the service. We have family, we have friends beside us. And what I was kind of thinking is, let's do something unorthodox a little bit, since we have kids in the service. And let's take some time with our families to really process that God has been good to us. Let's not look at it as a church perspective. Let's look at it as ourselves, perhaps. We just need a moment with God ourselves. But whoever is beside us, if you feel like you want to involve them, especially if it's your spouse or some family, how is it that God has been good to you in this last year? And so here, I got some examples. I want to do, just take about 5 minutes. That is not a lot of time, I'm telling you. 5 minutes is going to be, you know, it's going to go by. But where has God been faithful? Where has God shown his steadfast devotion? Where has he shown his love, compassion, mercy, kindness? And so here's the examples in the passage that we have. Through his creation, creating everything for us to enjoy and be sustained by the beauty of this earth. God helping us out of an oppressive season in Egypt. Whatever that oppressive season is to you, perhaps. God guiding us through a current desert or finally out of one. Maybe we're entering into a wilderness area. You're like, man, this is, why am I in the wilds right now? God's love endures forever. We need to remember. God giving us victory over our enemies, spiritual or otherwise. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's mental. Whatever enemy. If you need victory over, just go, God, your love and faithful kindness endures forever. And just lean on that. Knowing God sees us and remembers us. That was the final bit to that passage. Is that he sees and knows your heart. And God having somehow provided for all of our basic needs. That was in that final as well. Sometimes we forget the food's on the table and maybe it's pasta every night. But my goodness, you're eating.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Spruce Grove Alliance Church. For more information or to hear past messages, please visit sgac.net.